Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
And good evening, everybody. Welcome to Medium Insights Hour, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation and Signs of Life Radio. We gather here once a month to explore the mindsets of many accomplished spiritual mediums on a variety of topics related to the study of consciousness, spirituality, and the afterlife. I'm Roman Karpyshka, and as your host, I'm excited to welcome back Joe Peretta to the show. Joe is a certified medium with the Forever Family Foundation, and as a child, he's had a hard time hiding his affinity for the spirit world. After the death of his maternal grandmother, he would see, feel, and receive signs from her on a daily basis. And in his teen years, he started having prophetic dreams and visions, which he didn't always understand, and this made him shy away from his gifts for over a decade. However, after guidance and membership, he finally relented and embraced his gift. He now enjoys a wonderful reputation as an extremely evidential medium, and he's respected amongst his peers and all over the world. Joe is the host of the Mediums and Messages show on the Signs of Life as well. So he'll be here next week hosting the show, just like I'm hosting it this week. His professional website is www.joeperetta, that's P-E-R-R-E-T-A.com. So tonight, our show is commercial-free. So again, no interruptions. Sit back, put your feet up, curl up with a nice blanket, pet a loved one, have a drink on us. Let us stimulate your intellect for the next hour or so. But before we introduce Joe, I do want to make a couple of announcements. Bob Ginsberg's book is available on Amazon. It's called The Medium Explosion, A Guide to Navigating the World of Those Who Claim to Communicate with the Dead. And also, just a reminder for everybody, because I love this thing. It's the Netflix docuseries, Surviving Death, still streaming. So Bob and the Forever in Our Hearts friend and the Forever Family Foundation are actually featured in episode 4 of that. So tonight's show, dear listeners, again, is for studying and research purposes. Keep in mind that Joe is not going to be performing any readings tonight. But if you have questions, feel free to call in. Number is 888-627-6008. And for the last, I'd say 7 or 8 months or so, we've been using a new format where our listeners and Forever Family Foundation members have been emailing in their questions to the show. And then we just, we ask the medium those questions. It's a formula that works great. So if it ain't broke, why fix it? So we're going to continue that. So we got a slew of questions here for Joe. And we've also, we'll welcome your calls as well. All right. So Joe, welcome to the show.
Hey, Roman, how are you?
Not bad, buddy. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Good. Last time we conversed was, I think it was on December 10th. You know how I can tell? It's because, all of these things I put on Word, on a Word document, and that Word document is from the last time with your name on is dated December 10th. So
there you go.
Yeah, absolutely. So were you, you're in New York, right?
Yeah. I'm in Manhattan. I live in, I guess I'm in Midtown. I have to laugh. I kind of don't know what neighborhood I'm in because they just added Hudson Yards. So I'm sort of there, but I'm also in Hell's Kitchen, but I'm also in Midtown. So I don't know. I'm on the West Side.
You sound like a New Yorker.
Yeah.
You got that.
My whole life.
Yeah, that's great, man. That's great. Nice. Okay. So you wanna start with the one of the emails that came in?
Yeah, let's jump right in.
All right. I will read it verbatim. Here it is. I have been given messages by mediums from my husband and was told he is around me. I can't hear him, see him, or feel him. Is something wrong with me? I'm very saddened by this. I listen to all your broadcasts and would be so happy if you can help me with this. Thank you for all that you do.
Well, okay. So it's to answer that question, there's nothing wrong with you. You know, most people, I'll speak for myself and a lot of mediums, we can't fully even feel our own people or know that they're there. I mean, every now and again, like I'll feel someone in my family, you know, but not in, I won't get information from them in the same way that I get it for when I'm reading someone else. Cause there's that lack of objectivity, but you know, I'll feel them. But a lot of people have that experience where they won't feel their loved one around them, or they don't get their own signs, but they'll get messages through other people, or, you know, someone will call them and say, I had a dream about your husband and he said this, you know, like, oh my God, you know, I was talking about that yesterday. You know, he must be around me. It's okay. It doesn't mean that there's anything wrong at all. Some people are just more open and sensitive to energy than others, but it doesn't affect, or doesn't mean, I should say, that that person isn't there on the other side just because you are not perceiving it. It's almost like if you compared it to, like, you know, infrared light, we can't really see it, but it's there, you know, yeah. Just because it's not there. So you kind of have to trust the instruments that measure the light. In this case, the mediums or the other people who are doing it. But I do understand that nothing replaces that one-on-one communication. And if you're listening to this, I would recommend trying to meditate a little bit. Sometimes if our minds are too deep in grief, you know, that can block our energy a lot. And also if your mind is just too active or too much in the physical world, or you're anxious, or there's depression, or, you know, this isn't a blanket statement, but those things can get in the way. And meditation, especially for like the anxiety thing and the busy mind, which is really more of it, you can kind of help that a little bit and maybe open your energy or your sensors a little bit.
You alluded to something that I found interesting about the closeness and objectivity and how it affects your objectivity. How as a medium does that, and this is coming from me, just sparking interest. Mm-hmm. How does, you know, being, you know, let's say you lost somebody that's close to you and it's harder obviously for you to be objective in perceiving them, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
And that's because of why?
Well, you know, like I could try to get messages from my grandparents, and I have, you know, and they're some of the closest people to me that have passed. There are other people, but they're really the ones that I kind of bother the most on the other side.
I see.
But the reason why it's harder when you're not objective is because, number one, you want it so bad. So it's hard to tell what's your desire to talk to that person, and am I actually having it? Is it my heart that misses them, or am I actually feeling that communication or that closeness? The other thing, and really why objectivity matters, is because, you know, that's why we always tell people not to tell the mediums anything, don't feed us anything when we do readings, because the more I know about you, the more I can connect dots, the more, you know, it's less that spirit can break through, because I, Joe, the human in here, knows about it. So if I have to bring forward information about my grandmother or my grandfather or my aunt or whoever, I can't be objective because we have all the same family. What am I going to bring up? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have to, that's why it's so hard with your own family, because there's no way to independently validate, really, unless they come through with something so good. And you ask, you know, your mother, and she says, oh, you know, your grandmother was married before your grandfather. I never told you. That kind of stuff is great, but you know, you're not going to really sit around and get that most of the time.
That is very insightful what you just said, especially because you know the person so well that crossed over, and a lot of things about them that, what are they going to bring across? It's going to floor you. Nothing.
Right. Very little. But you know what? It doesn't mean that you can't. I know people who have lost someone close to them, and they will still, a lot of mediums will, I shouldn't say a lot, but I have met mediums that will lose someone close and they're like, no, I still get messages. I still, you know, I can hear them from time to time. But even that medium or those mediums, you know, there's a few of them that I know have lost people close. They will say it's hard sometimes for me to know. Like I hear it, but I don't know, you know, like there's an ambivalence to it.
Also, I think there might be some, like you just alluded to, wishful thinking. Is it wishful thinking or a real message that came across?
Right. It's hard to know.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, a lot of people are struggling with that are non-mediums. I mean, I think messages come through to us, but we're just not good at, you know, discerning,
you know,
between, oh, that was a true communication, or that's just my mind, or that's wishful thinking, or, you know, and there's a lot of stuff going on in our egos, you know, that really prevent
Right. Well, you know, I think just to add to that, and maybe anyone listening who's struggling with that, I think that's sort of where signs come in, like physical signs, because I know with my people on the other side, like if I've gotten a message from them or even from my guides sometimes, you know, which aren't, I consider my guides sort of on a different energetic level than my loved ones who've passed. Right. But that's a whole other conversation. If I need to have a message validated, like if I feel like, I don't know, my grandfather's coming through and he's telling me to do something, I'll be like, listen, send, if you want me to do that, send me this sign or, you know what I mean? Like, I think that's where the physical things come in, where you see like a specific bird or you hear a specific song or, you know,
yeah.
And I will bring up, another Forever Family medium, Laura Jackson, her book Signs. I tell so many people to read it because it really is such a good like example and almost acts as a how to with how to set up your own signs and get your own objective veridical information based on, you know, well, if I tell my brother, you know, if you want me to have mom move in with me, send me a purple elephant, you know, with a top hat on. And then 3 days later, you know, you walk into the doctor's office and a kid has a doll that's a purple elephant with a top hat. I mean, how are you going to argue with that one? You know what I mean? And it happens all the time. And you get stuff like that all the time. So that's what I ask. I always advise people to do if you're having trouble sort of getting it on the mental level, ask a question and just say, listen, show me this if the answer is yes. If it's not, then I'll know. You know what I mean? They're there for us. They'll help.
I hear you loud and clear, and that's some great advice. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Let's get on to the next question. Let's see. Do our loved ones hear all of our thoughts? Do they know when we speak or think about them in a negative way?
So I'm going to say yes, actually, because I mean, I don't think the universe or God or whatever you want to call it puts a filter on the things that we say for our loved ones, and we only hear the good things. I think we hear everything when we go to the other side, or at least, I don't want to say everything. I mean, it's possible that they are hearing every single word, but I do think maybe when they tune into us, like we tune into them, they're listening, or they, you know, they often tell me, I heard that conversation, I heard this, I heard that. But I would say, I don't think it's a bad thing if we're saying something about them that was true, even if it wasn't the greatest thing, especially if it's true. But even let's just say if it's not, I think we have a different perspective when they get to the other side. And I don't think it's hurting them or they're like angry at us if, you know, you're not saying the best thing. Or I think that, you know, it's a different right. perspective over there, a little bit of a higher level of thinking, I think, personally.
Yeah, I would think that they're in a much better place.
And, yeah.
You know, and they're just, I think this is, we are here to learn and we're going to make mistakes here.
Right.
And I think everybody accepts that, no matter who you are. You know, I think Mother Teresa made mistakes. You know, Pope John Paul made mistakes. I mean, right. Everybody makes mistakes. So it's just, you know, some make more than others, whatever, you know, but it's all a learning experience, no matter who
exactly.
you are. So I think once you cross over, it's like, oh yeah, this was a journey. Okay, I learned, I made mistakes. Time to move on, you know?
Right.
Interesting. Very interesting. All right, here's another one. This one's kind of long, okay?
Okay.
Because there's a lot in it. All right. Several months ago, I lost my wife, my soulmate. It was tragic, sudden, and completely unexpected. We knew each other for many years, but never talked at length or seriousness about an afterlife or anything paranormal. Certainly, I never recall her discussing a belief or anything beyond the five senses or in an afterlife. However, since she has passed, she's been sending me sign after sign. He's appeared in dreams and is interceding on my behalf at crucial occasions as I try to cope with her loss and somehow figure out how to go on with my life. So my question is, how is it that my wife is able to communicate so often and so well, despite the fact that she never put much or any stock into anything beyond this physical realm? That's a really good question.
Well, I would say, I don't think you, if something is real and it works and it's there, you don't have to believe it, you know, to, if it's there. So if you know, I happen to believe, because I feel like it's more than believe, I know that we have a soul and we can communicate. So, you know, that might be easy for me to say, but, you know, I would kind of compare it, I guess, to like, I don't know, if you want to look at, like, you know, germ theory and you know, getting sick from like a virus or bacteria, like, you could not believe that those even exist, but you'll still get the flu, even if you don't. You know what I mean? So I think it lends even more validity to the fact that we go on after we die, the physical, you know, lose our physical body.
Yep.
Because if his wife was someone who didn't even think about it, or maybe she actively didn't even believe it, it just goes to show you that it doesn't matter, because it's just a fact of the universe that your consciousness continues.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this person is very, very lucky to get such powerful communications, first of all, and should be, you know, blessed, you know, consider themselves blessed that they're getting that kind of communication.
Right.
I find, you know, from personal experience, I find that after the transition, the communication is stronger, but as the years go by, I think it lessens in frequency and intensity.
Right. I think so too. Yeah, you know, I actually spoke to a client about that today. They had a question about that. And I don't think it's because our soul gets weaker or we go to a different level or a different place. I think it's more about how okay we become with their past.
Yes, I totally agree.
You know, how much we heal. Like, some people it's 1 year and they start to see like the signs tapering off. I know people who sort of, and this isn't to criticize anyone and say that anyone's grief should go one way or the other, but some people really get stuck in their grief for longer, and there's nothing wrong with it. Everyone's healing process is different. And I find that sometimes those people will get signs years later if they're still struggling the same as they were the day that the person first passed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I really think it all depends on where you're at as the person alive. And I think they do sort of that stepping back once they know that you are better about it, because they don't want us to not live our lives just because they passed. Like, that's always a big message, you know?
Interesting. Hey, Joe, we got a caller.
Okay.
A call? All right. So we have Brandy from Philadelphia on line two. So Brandy, can you hear us?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we could. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, of course. You got a question for Joe?
Yes, I have a question. So I just found it interesting, as I'm sitting here listening, I was just reading the book Signs by Laura Lynn Jackson, and I'm taking my notes on the book, like literally writing on my notes. So I felt like maybe I should actually call in and ask my question. I saw that as my sign.
Yeah, I'll take that as a sign too.
Yes. So I've been practicing mediumship for about a year and a half. And so far it's all been like word of mouth. And I just started to charge people. But I feel like weird charging people, because I feel like I'm healing them. Like, I'm having a hard time with like, how do I market this when I feel like it's like not, you know, I'm sure you know what I'm saying.
I know exactly what you're saying. So I had the same problem in the beginning, by the way. Not just because I was like, oh my God, you know, what if I'm not good enough? But there was also that, like, should I be charging for this? But someone said to me something, and I'm going to say the same thing to you. Don't you pay your doctor? Not saying that we're doctors, but that is also that he or she is healing your physical body. They're also doing healing work. So your time is valuable. Your energy is valuable. And that was kind of a game changer for me. When I forget who said that to me, but I was kind of like, you know what? That makes me feel less guilty about it, because there's plenty of other people who help other people, and, you know, they have bills just like anyone else. And, you know, I get that. And if you're asking about like how to market it or whatever, I may not be the best person to answer that, because I never really did any like marketing or advertising. I kind of just, which I advise all my students, and, you know, when I did teach, I haven't taught in a while, but anyone who's just starting out, you just kind of, my philosophy was always, you know, I'm gonna just going to let the work speak for itself, like word of mouth. And I never really took out ads. It was just, you know, if I'm doing this with integrity and, you know, with love, and I'm doing the right thing and, you know, reading people, the universe will send you who it needs, you know, who you need to get, kind of thing. And the word will get out there. I truly believe that.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And Brandy, if I can add something, is that, you know, once you, I don't know what point of development you are in your mediumship skills, but once you feel at a certain comfort level that you can really do this, you know, contact the Forever Family Foundation and get certified. you know, that is a big step towards, you know, gaining credibility and, you know, putting that on your, you know, putting that on your wall, but kind of thing. So it goes a long way. It's a wonderful foundation. The accreditation process is very strict. It's a, you know, through blind experiments and stuff like that. So yeah, definitely take it to that level. It'll definitely help you.
Okay, great. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Of course. Okay. You're welcome.
Thank you for the call, Brandy. All right. So hey, Tim, we have a Tim from Pittsburgh on line 4. So Tim, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you loud and clear. Welcome to the show, Tim.
Great. Thank you very much. Appreciate it both. I have a question here for Joe that I've kind of wondered about for a while, so I'm hoping he can provide some insight. Every or almost every case that I've ever read of somebody who has, in quotes, died and then come back to tell about it, they've indicated that they have been, as part of the experience, filled with a sense of profound love, that they've experienced this love feeling, which, you know, you think about, well, if they're closer to God and God is love, maybe that's a part of it. But if you, at least from my perspective, if you think about loving here in this reality on Earth, your love is normally associated with most times another living creature, whether it's a human being or whether it's an animal or something like that. You just don't feel love in kind of a nebulous way that isn't connected to somebody else. Mm-hmm. So at least, so my two questions here are for Joe. Has he in his mediumship experiences where he might have dealt with folks that had died and come back, does he have any further insight into this feeling of love, where it comes from and what it is? And secondly, in his mediumship experiences, Joe, in your mediumship experiences, have you, in talking to somebody on the other side, have you also experienced the love that presumptively they're enjoying on the other side?
Okay, so I'm going to answer the second question first because it's a shorter answer. So I'm going to say no, I haven't during a reading. Not that universal kind of love, but like if it's someone's, anyone, mother, father, whoever, I'll sometimes feel the love that they feel for that person. But I have felt it myself during meditation. That I can say I actually have felt that, but it wasn't, I think during the mediumship, it's, I'm a little bit more focused on sort of the emotional place that the person on the other side is at in reference to whoever I'm reading. And you know what I mean? To kind of give enough validation. So it doesn't always, I don't always get that bigger picture sort of universal kind of thing, but 100% I felt that many, many times during, you know, a bunch of different kinds of meditation, but usually, and this is probably going to bring me back around to the first question, which I had to take notes because I didn't want to forget your first question. So please forgive me if I wrote it down wrong. But when I meditate and I've ever felt that sort of universal love that's not really connected to an individual, you know, a person, a pet, whatever it is, it's always been in a meditation when I was trying to connect to not so much, I wouldn't say like God, you know, for lack of a better word, and there's a lot of meaning to that for a lot of different people, but more when I was trying to just connect to everything, like you hear people talk about like the collective consciousness, like that kind of thing. When I've tuned into that, that feeling is very much all about that sort of I don't want to say nondescript love, but it's not in any one direction. It just is. And I think the reason for that, and you know, because we're, like you said, we're so used to hearing in the physical world, I love this person or I love this animal, or, you know, it's directed at one or a group, all my, you know, my five children, whatever it is. I think when you connect, when you have an NDE and you've passed, and I don't think, at least, I've had someone come through who had an NDE and then had passed later and I talked to them, but I have met people alive who had NDEs. And I think when you feel that sort of like whole, complete, like, I don't even know if I'm using the right word, but it's totally comprehensive, connected feeling to all of existence. I don't think you can help but feel love for that. And I don't know if it has to have a focal point or direction, because it just, it sort of just is everything. Am I making sense? I hope I'm conveying that feeling correctly.
Yeah, I think you are. I also think, and I think you're stating this, that this is something that you kind of have to experience for yourself, because words fail.
Yeah, they you know what? In a lot of this work, I find, in explaining my work, words really truly do fail. And not that I've ever had an NDE, and I would never claim that what I feel in my meditation is even close to what people experience, but it might be in the same, you know, neighborhood, I guess. But you find, you know, if you've done a lot of reading with NDE, you know, experiences, which it sounds like you have, a lot of them will say it was beyond words, but I'll try. Like, I've heard that a lot. I'll try to explain it, but it's kind of beyond words. And I think you're right. It's more of an experiential thing than words, you know?
Yeah, that's helpful. I appreciate that. That's a further insight into this. So thank you very much.
Awesome. You're welcome.
Thanks for the call, Tim.
You're welcome.
Okay, we also have another caller who's waiting patiently from beautiful Hawaii.
Oh.
A gentleman by the name of Nelson. Nelson from Hawaii. Are you there, Nelson?
Hi, Roman and Joe.
Hi.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Aloha.
Aloha.
I heard you guys mentioning Laura Lynn Jackson's book, Signs, which I read also. And I was moved to call because of your mentioning of that book.
Okay.
What happened was my dog Charlie passed away this Mother's Day, and there was a lot of signs involved. For example, a gold wedding ring, and happening on Mother's Day. And then in one case, I woke up in the middle of the night at 2 o'clock in the morning or 3, 2 days later, and I asked if he was there and to beat the phone. In 1 to 2 minutes, He beat the phone 2 times.
Oh.
I still was in doubt. I didn't believe it. I thought it was a fluke. So the next day, I woke up. I wasn't planning this. I woke up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning the next day. I asked the same question because I sensed something around me. And this time around, in 1 to 2 minutes, he beat the phone nonstop. And so I reseated the phone. And then I went to the bathroom, and he beat the phone nonstop again while I was in the restroom. And I thanked him for that sign. And then another day, I was collecting his fur from around my room. And while I was doing that, I put the jar by the beeper, the phone. And as soon as I opened the jar and put his fur in there, it started beeping again. So I knew without even asking him that he noticed these things. So you did say that whenever we talk to our loved ones, they hear you. I think they hear us every time, because even without asking him, just the feeling of that, he answered. But here's a kicker from Laura Lynn Jackson's book. There was one incident where he gave me a sign, and it's including Caleb from one of her stories where a boy died when he was young. Charlie started giving me signs involving numbers, just like Caleb, like 111, I mean 1111. And I was getting those. And then in one dream, I saw balloons, and which is the sign sent by Caleb. My question is he just visiting me right now, or is just, you know, checking up on me, see how I'm doing? Eventually he won't be visiting or staying around me eventually, because I don't know if he would stay around, because I know that spirits have other obligations on the other side. So do they remain with us by our side, or do they only come when we call them or, you know, visit?
So the way that they sort of explain it to me is like, kind of they're always there. And I think that's possible because on the other side, well, they tell me time really doesn't exist, or at least not in the way that we know it. And I think space is also not a problem for them, like physical space. because I don't even know if they are, bound by those rules. So in that sense, I do think, like, because of that, they're able to be around us all the time. But someone else had asked this question a little bit earlier. I really don't think they go anywhere. They just, when we get more, when we heal a little bit more from their loss or heal a little bit of our grief, they sort of not step back, but they just don't give us as many signs. And that's not true for everyone, but I've noticed it does sort of happen. Like the first year you'll get so much, and then I think after you go through every birthday and every holiday, and okay, I can make it through this life, in this new state. I've done it once, I could do it again. It kind of feels like they just let you know that they're there. Once you accept that, they kind of step back a little bit. But I mean, I'll use myself as an example. My grandparents passed when I was six. I'm 32 now, so it's been quite a few years. And I still get signs from my grandparents. I've been getting them actually a lot in the last week and a half. That's without cool. without having to ask. But I think, they usually pop up, nowadays. This is just in my own experience. They'll kind of make themselves know when something major is going on or coming up. So I don't think that, he's ever going to disappear and you won't hear from him anymore. But I always tell people, if you kind of feel like you're getting a little lonely or that whoever it is on the other side you want to hear from isn't around, you could just ask them to, listen, could you show up a little bit more? I'm feeling a little lonely here. They will,
Okay. And my other question is, when we cross over ourselves, will we be able to spend time with our animals? Like, I know that they have their own mission, their journeys and whatnot.
I get people coming through. I get people coming through with their pets all the time. With their pets, with family pets. So I think if those souls are different in any kind of way, I don't think they go to different places. I kind of feel like everyone, I get animals all the time. I've gotten a parrot before. Someone had like a beloved parrot. And it's not just cats and dogs, I don't think. I think if there's a loving connection to that soul, then that soul's with you, whether it was a human or a dog or a parrot or, whatever.
Yeah, the reason I ask is because I read that from Dr. Newton that they go to a separate sphere. But from mediums like yourself mentioning, they don't do that. They actually join us in the same sphere.
Yeah. It feels like everyone's in the same, like you said, like sphere or place. They kind of all come through. I don't get a transmission from doggy or kitty heaven, during a reading. It's all the same place.
It's good to know.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Of course.
I really appreciate it.
All right. Well, thank you for the call, Nelson, and enjoy Hawaii.
Thank you. You too.
Okay, take care.
Aloha.
Thank you.
Hey, so Joe, great questions, great participation. We're getting another call.
All right.
We have a Margaret from PA on line two. So, Margaret, can you hear us? Are you there? Margaret? Well, maybe we lost her. We'll try. Well, you know what? I'll try back in a few minutes. But in the meantime, we can go with another question that we received. Yeah. So this one is from somebody that wrote in. That's asking, do you ever get an irate sitter, and how do you handle them?
Yes, actually. Okay. I have, it is so funny that I've this question, that you even read this, because I was just at the grief retreat for Forever Family in California. And, I kind of talked about this all weekend, not irate, sitters, but sort of what you can do as a sitter and what your role, because I don't know if a lot of people know this, but it's not just the medium or the spirits on the other side that affect the reading, but also the sitter. There's like sort of a three-way triangular connection here. It's yes. me, and I have found that in some readings that didn't go so well, I'm not blaming anybody, but sometimes the sitter did have an effect. They're either blocking energy or whatever. With that being said, I just find it very coincidental that I'm presented with this question. Do we have Marguerite? Yeah.
I think we had a bleed in for a second. You know what, okay. Joe, finish your thought, and then we're going to try again.
Okay, I'll make it quick. So yeah, so I have had a client that's angry. I mean, the way you deal with it depends on why they're mad. If they're angry with me because they feel like I'm lying to them, or because they don't, you know, believe what I'm doing, you know, I'll just return the money and that's that. You know, and I can't read that person. If they're angry because, you know, their mother was coming through and she was abusive and she's not saying I'm sorry, but she's bringing up other stuff, you know, I have to kind of handle that in a different way. And I would, you know, I kind of try to explain to people as much as I can. And I in that case, I would really, you know, it's kind of awkward because I'm in the middle, but that's my job. And I'd let her kind of deal with that with her mom, you know, through me.
Yeah.
But, you know, that there's so many reasons why someone could be difficult or angry, but I'm, you know, most of the time, if for that reason I can't read the person, you know, I'll just return the money and that's that. You know, I can't, you know.
So it could affect the quality, of course, of the reading.
It, you know, it can, and that's why I tell people after someone passes, you really should. I tell people to wait a little bit, you know, a few months, maybe 3 months, 6 months, not for them on the other side, but for yourself. You may not be ready to hear what someone has to say, even if you really want to. You might not be in that headspace yet.
Right. That's really good advice. Okay, great. So let's, I've been pinging our engineer, and Marguerite dropped off, but then she came back. So let's welcome her to the show. Marguerite, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me now?
Now yes. We can hear you. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question for Joe.
Sure.
I have done like a mini reading with Joe before, and I just wanted to know how do you get these spirits to come to you? Because it seems like I've done readings with other mediums, and I try to reach my husband, but it seems like you're the only one that he comes to. Can you tell me, do you draw them to you, or do they just come, and is there something that you do?
You know what? I'm going to say no. I don't think that I don't call them to me or anything. It's just more about me opening up and listening. It's like turning on a radio. I'm going to listen now. All right, I'm done. I'm going to turn it off. But I will say I've found that some, like I could read someone and then another medium friend of mine with a very different personality or different way of reading could read the same person and we'll get an entirely different side of their family. And I think part of it is, truly, I think if the person on the other side just kind of like warms up to you or likes your energy, I know that sounds kind of funny, but I have found people in my life like that. If I went to a medium, and I mean, I'm trying not to judge anybody, but if I'm like, oh, my grandmother wouldn't like this lady, she probably, like, she wouldn't come through. I'm not even kidding. Like, I've seen it happen. But the other thing that I think what they really do is, you know, when we do readings, it's sort of like, they have to use our own frame of reference for things. And I kind of call it like my word bank. Like I have certain experiences that may fit better in your family, and your husband can maybe more easily get messages through me to you because the stuff in my brain or in my mind, I should say, is easier or I may, you know what I'm saying? Like I always joke and say, you know, I grew up, I'm Italian, I'm from New York. It's so easy for me to read anyone who's Italian, especially if they're from New York, because I grew up the same as the people I'm reading. So, you
it's
know what I mean?
It's funny that you say that because my husband is Italian and he is from New York. So maybe that's
where you go. if he's from Queens, we really have a, we really got it. But yeah, so that might be why. Maybe he's, you know, anyone else that has tried to connect with you, he just isn't bothering because he's like, you know, this lady from Wisconsin ain't going to get it. You know what I mean? But this guy, Joe from Queens, will know what I'm talking about. So I really think that's mostly why they do it. They use the best fit to get the message through. But I do think some of it has to do with personality as well. Like I may misrepresent, you know, someone, whereas, you know, another medium might represent them correctly. So they'll come to that person.
Yeah, because like when you have done the reading for me, you kind of talk like he talks. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, so right. So that makes sense why he would probably use me versus maybe someone else.
So the other question is he near you now? Because tonight happens to be our 48th anniversary, and I just want to know.
Oh my goodness! I'm sure he's around, my friend. I'm sure he is. If you got through, of course he wanted you to ask that question. So I'm going to say yes, he is.
Yes.
Yes.
Because I'm just missing him.
I know, it's a hard day, and 40 years is a long time, but he's always with you. Always.
Always, you think?
I haven't
felt him around me lately. I did it when he first passed, but lately I don't.
Right. Well, you know what? I don't know if you were listening to the show before you called in, but it seems to be the theme of the night. Are they still around or not? Mm-hmm. They're always there, even if you don't hear from them. It doesn't mean that they went anywhere. Just if you need a sign from him, just ask him for one. I promise you he'll send it.
I do, but I don't get them.
I don't know why. That's okay. Sometimes you got to give him a minute. That's all. Well, let me ask you, are you asking him for specific signs or you're just asking for a sign in general?
Specific sign.
Okay, because I was going to say specific, I would just wait for it then. If you, say, send me a purple pen, just wait for the pen. It might take a minute, but he'll send it, I promise. I wouldn't stress too much, my friend. He's there.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you. Of course.
You're very welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. Take care. That was really interesting. Also, yeah. The thing is, you said earlier that there's really the time on the other side is not the same as time on this side.
Right.
So, how are they going to know that, okay, in 5 minutes, this side, send me something, It's their concept of time on the other side.
Right. There might be a little bit of a lag or something on that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It might happen quickly. It might not happen quickly. It might, for whatever reason, Nice. Well, I have also another question. Has it ever happened to you, Joe, that somebody called you for a reading and maybe your spirit guides interfered or something and they strongly advise you not to do the reading? Have you ever, refused a reading, to give somebody a reading? Has that ever happened to you?
Let me think about that a second. I won't lie. Usually when someone contacts me, I do everything through email now just because I'm a scatterbrain. And if I need a paper trail for myself.
Right.
But usually when someone reaches out, I kind of can get a sense of their energy and already know this person's going to be very skeptical. This person, is I might have to take extra time with them because they might not, I usually know how the reading's going to go. I don't know if I've ever told someone I can't read you. I feel like spirit told me not to, or there've been people I've said no to because their requests seemed more like sometimes, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but sometimes people need more of traditional talk therapy and not, I'll feel like it's not beneficial or it would be more harmful to actually read a person. And what they really might need is a therapist or a counselor, So there have been times where I've politely told people that I don't feel comfortable reading for you. I think what you're looking for is this, and I'll refer them to someone. But that's happened very few times.
Right. It actually happened to me once, to tell you the truth.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Back in 2009, I lost a 5-year-old son.
Oh, geez, I'm so sorry.
Thank you. That's what got me into this whole thing. It was that, or I was going to off myself, this whole spirituality thing and the study of it. And I've read hundreds of books on it. And,
right.
That's how I know Bob and I knew Fran very well. And, right. Into this whole thing because of that. So I've had some very successful medium readings and I figured, me being Mr. Skeptic, open-minded skeptic, that is, I won't divulge any information or give credit card information in advance. I'll make an arrangement to pay in cash, give a false name, so there's no what kind of thing. And that's worked for me very, very well. And it just blew my mind, some of the readings that I got. These people names out of thin air and everything. It's amazing.
Right.
So this one person was, I said, all right, I'll do the same with you. And, I'm going to, pay you in cash. I even dropped off the money in an envelope beforehand. And then I didn't say who I was. I just gave a fake name on the envelope and called a couple of days later and say, okay, I want a reading. And this person said, nope, not going to do it. My spiritual advisors told me not to read you. just like that.
Really.
And that's, then I realized that, okay, this person is probably a fraudulent medium, but at least I got my money back.
Right. I was going to say it could be because that person was fraudulent. I will tell you, though, And this is just the human side of me talking, not the okay. medium.
Yeah.
But I have had, I mean, I don't mind anyone listening, like, please lie to me and validate for yourself. I don't need to know. You don't even need to be in the room for me to read your people. Like it any medium will tell you that who's mm-hmm. genuinely doing what they claim to do. But I will say, if people are like openly, I guess, trying to deceive me about their identity, does that make sense? Like they want me to know that they're lying about it. I have thought twice and been like, oh, should I not read this person? Not because I need to know who they are, but sometimes, you know, unfortunately, you get a lot of crazy people out there in the world. So yeah. sometimes when something seems a little bit like, is this person just trying to, you know, do their due diligence and get a good reading? Or like, am I putting my career or myself in danger? So it could have been that too. Like maybe that person was just reading the energy wrong. But honestly, I got the impression it was the first one that they just like weren't legit, maybe. And, right. yeah. you know.
I'm thinking this person, you know, uses your credit card information to Google you and find out everything about you and, you know, that kind of
right.
thing. Right. You're in that age where right. that's very possible, you know. And I just didn't want
right.
to it is. I wasn't trying to stump the medium or do anything underhanded. I just wanted a good reading where this person knew right. absolutely nothing about me. You know, it just makes right. everything and, that comes through more evidential.
Right. And you don't want to have those doubts. Like, could they have possibly looked at them? I totally get that. I respect that. I've done it myself, believe it or not, with mediums. I've made a,
yeah.
give a fake name and an email and all that.
Absolutely.
But yeah, you know, I do understand the human side of it is like, you know, oh no, am I being tricked or, you know, am I going to, you know, is this like a skeptical, you know, organization trying to like get me to, you know what I mean? Like sometimes you worry about that, but that's more the ego and the human side of things.
And you know what? That's always going to be there because right. it's a different type of science. It's not materialistic. It's a different realm altogether. And until we, you know, maybe through quantum physics or whatever, prove that that kind of energy exists and is really there
right.
in a way that is measurable, you know, you're always going to get that, unfortunately.
Right.
It's just the world we live in, you know.
I think that's very true.
But I also, what's really helping this whole spirituality movement is the internet with, you know, just being able to connect to people that are like-minded and, you know, learn and being able to be exposed to it in a positive way. So I think that's, you know, that's made everything come a very long way. It's almost like a, you know, a second renaissance, because I think the first renaissance was around, you know, the day of the Fox sisters when, you know, back in the late 1800s, when, you know, mm-hmm. nobody had televisions, you know, for fun, people did tons of readings, you know, everyone's
right.
joining seances and group sessions and everything, because that was a thing to do on a Friday night, you know, and everybody was doing it. So it was extremely popular back then. But now, you know, with, you know, like the internet and instant gratification with the way that the world is, it's hard to have those circles these days, because it takes a long
right.
time and a lot of commitment, you know. But at the right. same time, this new thing has brought us together as well, you know, which is kind of cool.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very true.
So do you ever deal with violent crossings?
So
like people that have crossed over.
Roman, you're very psychic. Do you know this?
I've been told.
Because you have asked me like 3 or 4 questions already on your own. That's stuff that I've either been thinking about in the last like month or so about my own mediumship. Or like things that happen in readings today. Yes, I have gotten violent passings. It's more rare. You know, I feel mm-hmm. like, you know, you don't get it a lot. At least I don't, you know, thankfully, but I've definitely, my first one and the biggest one was this woman came and her best friend had been murdered by her husband. It was like a really bad situation. And that was, it was very interesting to tune into, because although she was fine and came through okay and there was all that love and, you know, all that, she came through the same way everyone else does, but there's, you know, her passing wasn't the normal way that people go, an illness or an accident, or, you know, it was very bad, and you know, she did kind of show me how it happened, and she kind of validated who actually did it, and there was still a trial going on. I was actually a little bit nervous myself, because I was like, am I going to get like called in? Like, are they going to think I was involved in this somehow if I know details? you know, it's kind of scary. But I will say, you know, sometimes, you know, and unfortunately I do encounter a lot of people who lose someone to suicide. And unfortunately those passings can be violent sometimes, or, you know, a little depending on, you know, how it's done. But it doesn't affect how the person really comes through. They're usually very, you know, or they're always, I've yet to have someone come through who said they're not okay. You know, and I've been doing it 10 years already.
Nice. I'm glad that, you know, they even if they crossed over violently, you're getting messages that they're okay. You know,
And those readings, that's usually the main message, you know, not just the validations, but like, I really am fine with this whole thing.
Right.
You know, and they do like to, I mean, I find a lot of people like to talk about their passings, especially if it's, you know, a more traumatic one, because they kind of have to either clear the air or clear things up, you know? So they will bring it up. But I did, the reason why I said you're so psychic is because I had someone today, actually, for like the third time in my entire career, who had someone who was murdered, actually.
Wow.
And I haven't had that in years. So you're spooky, my friend.
Well, spookiest month of the year, right? I mean, it's just Halloween around the corner and all that. So why not?
Right.
I actually think, I don't think I'm, you know, thank you for the compliment, by the way, but I don't think I'm really psychic. I think these questions have been pushed in front of me. I'm actually reading from some old questions because, you know, we didn't get that many questions that come in, and I'm reading. Mm-hmm. And just the fact that I selected that question to throw at
correct
means something. It's a sign of some kind.
I know, think so.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you've heard of the Akashic Records, right?
Yes.
And you know, everything that is said, thought, spoken, every single thing is recorded. It's all there. I mean, we don't have
right.
Some people have access to it. Certain mediums have access to it. I don't know if you have access to Akashic Records, but I know there was this Hungarian medium. I forgot what his name was, but he thrived on Akashic Records, and he was able to tell stuff about everybody and everything. And he had like a grade 2 education. The name escapes me. And I'm sure it'll come to me. But anyways, so that's probably, you know, maybe it's in the Akashic Records. Something was pushed in front of me there or whatever, you know. So it was,
right, I think so.
Quite interesting how that works. So tell us a bit about yourself. And like, I know that you know, I did a little brief bio intro on you. But yeah, just, you know, let's do a little plug on you. And you know, while we're at it, I would like you to, you know, say a few words about Valerie and the services that she offers as well. I think that would be
You're talking about my mom?
Yeah.
Valerie. Oh, yeah, that's my mom. Yeah. So
hey,
my
homework.
Yeah, you did too. I was like, oh, well, he really did read. So my mom actually, well, first of all, I get a lot of my psychic ability from my mom for sure. Because her grandmother, the one that I've mentioned a few times that's passed, I have one living and one passed. Her mom was Sicilian lady and very psychic. So my mom's actually super psychic. But she actually got certified as an end of life coach. So she's certified sort of like a grief counselor, but not exactly. But she'll it's like a cross between a grief counselor and like a death doula, basically. So she'll either work with people who are actually themselves passing and sort of just kind of help them with their own emotions and their own, you know, just work through that. And she also will talk to people who, you know, the families of the people who are dying. And she's, you know, had clients, you know, of all kinds, really. So my mom, yeah, kind of runs in the family, this association with.
Yeah. You know, so like deals with hospices and people.
Yeah. She'll do stuff like that. I mean, it's very hard, you know, with like hospices and stuff. If you're not like a chaplain or something, which my mother isn't. So, you know, it's kind of hard to work for one when you're in that way, or if you're not a nurse.
Right.
But it's more of like a private business kind of thing. Like families will seek her out, or, you know, they'll, and it's the reason why I mentioned she's psychic is because she'll never own up to this, my mother, but I think a lot of her work ends up being psychic, you know what I mean? Or intuitive in some form. So I really do get it from her. I can't leave my dad out too, though. I get a lot from him. My father's always seeing like dead people. He honestly could put me out of business, but that's a whole other story. it runs in my family. We're very, I always joke and say we're very witchy in my family. on both sides, of my family.
Well, you know, I'm glad that you embraced it and didn't run away from it. Like, you know,
I tried for a minute, but
point. I didn't know how to put that in words nicely, but I mean, at first you're scared of it, you know, and that most people, most media that I spoke to in that situation, it's exactly the thing that they go through is they're, you know, they don't understand it. It frightens them at first, but then they embrace it. And then they, by embracing it, you become better and you're helping people, you know? So,
Well, that's what keeps me going really is helping people. But it's so funny too, because I was never afraid of the medium part of it. It was more, please excuse the fire engines. I am in Manhattan.
Oh yeah, you're in New York, right?
I apologize. I'm on an avenue. I'm not even on like a side street. but I was more afraid of the psychic stuff. Every time I would something would come up, someone would die, or there was a national tragedy. I mean, I dreamt about 9/11. So for me, I was like, you know, I associated it with dying and tragedy. And I was like, I cannot, you know, live like this. Like I can't sleep. Every time I get something, I have to worry about someone dying. And when the medium thing started to happen, that was more when I was like, you know what? I kind of like this because this is like oddly the opposite. I'm not killing anybody. You know what I mean? I'm reuniting people with people that they love in some form. And for me, I was like, okay, this I could do. You know, I couldn't deal with all that doom and gloom in the beginning. And I was 11. I was like 11 or 12. It was too much.
Wow. Well, you know what? This hour just flew by. It's over pretty much.
It does, yeah.
So what a fascinating time. I'm telling you, I had a great time.
I always have a good time on the show.
Yeah, thanks. And you're going to be back next week.
Yep, I'll be back next week hosting.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to thank our guest callers that called in, Brandy, Tim, Nelson, Margaret. Thank you for your calls. And Joe, thank you so much for all of your insight. Oh, you know, keep it up,
thank
buddy.
You for having me.
You are so welcome, and I can't wait to talk to you again.
Yeah, me too.
All right, so thanks, everybody. That does it for our show. Tune in next month when I'll be interviewing another gifted medium. And in the meantime, you know, just, you know, keep your spirits up, everybody. Good night from me, good night from Joe, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you very much. Oh, that was awesome.